right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast. Solly here. We are filming Tourist Sauce Season 8. So we are not watching golf. We were not planning to have a recap. Ended up being a bad weekend not to have a recap. Any weekend we would have skipped. You go try to find 2 weeks in the calendar to go film a travel series and not have something happen in the pro golf world. It's pretty much impossible these days. But we did not have a recap this past Sunday. Hope everyone got a chance to check out our interview with Joey D. Shout out to our friends at SchwabGolf.com for helping set that up as part of their Challenger series. We had to call an emergency. I'm not calling an emergency pod, a semi-emergency, an alarming pod. I don't know what exactly you'd call it, but Brooke Henderson wins the Avion. Tony Finau wins the 3M. Randy has some things he needs to apologize for. I called him in to the office here. You're going to hear from them shortly as we address a lot of the things that have happened. But look, there's a reason why we don't do a lot of recaps where we don't watch the golf. As you might be able to tell, we can't tell you about a whole lot about the specific shots that were hit, but we had to settle some scores. And what you hear shortly after this is going to be exactly that. Couple shouts before we get going. We have had a great support from our friends at BMW as we are driving around Sweden currently. You thought BMW was the ultimate driving machine. It is so much more. It's also the ultimate electric driving machine, the ultimate buddies trip machine, and the ultimate design machine, because the ultimate cannot be contained to just one thing. All electric, all BMW. Visit BMWUSA.com to learn more about the iX and the i4. We are driving the electric cars right here in Sweden. They have been fantastic. Cannot say enough great things about their support. Also, to our friends at DraftKings, MMA fans, as the fighters face off during UFC 277, you can take down your own big win with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. This Saturday, new customers can bet $5 on any fighter to win and get $100 in free bets, win or lose. And if you want even more action, you can double your winnings on a same game parlay. Combine multiple bets like which fighter will win, how long the fight will last, and more. Just place your UFC 277 same game parlay, and if it hits, you'll win double. DraftKings, of course, is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you need. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code NLU. Bet $5 on any UFC 277 fighter to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code NLU this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. New customers only. Bet $5 on UFC 277 and receive $100 in free bets no matter what. DraftKings is the only sportsbook that offers same-game parlays on UFC events. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Let's get to the podcast.
Solly here.
Hey, DJ here. Judge / King TC here.
Randy here. I've been summoned. I feel like I'm here against my own volition.
Invited into my my hotel room here in Stockholm because I think it is officially mea culpa season. And I leave it up the floor up to you where you would like to start, if you would even like to start, based on things we've seen in the past. I don't know if we're really going to get, you know, I'm sorry that I offended you kind of apology here, but I don't know, where would you like to start?
Randy, don't answer that question. First of all, me and my client are here with full cooperation, so I first of all don't even appreciate the tone. No pun intended. And, you know, this is a thing that I think we're doing out of the goodness of our heart. We're both on a work trip right now. Neither of us really are even informed. I will say, Judge, and to my fellow counsel here, we have not done the required reading. We don't really even know what happened.
This is all alleged, too. Exactly. I want to put the word alleged in front of everything you're about to hear.
I've heard no proof that any of this stuff did happen. I've seen nothing. I've seen no videos. I've seen no highlights. We have no proof that these people that you claim are holding trophies are actually holding trophies some thousands and thousands of miles away.
Allegedly, based on what, you know, we are, of course, as I mentioned in the intro, we're not able to watch the golf this past week. We are filming Tourist Sauce Season 8. Weren't planning to do a recap, but allegedly a lot of stuff did happen. And one of those things was Brooke Henderson won the Avion, her second major championship title, 17 under par, makes a 10-footer on the last hole to win the major.
Objection. I'm your honor.
You're the judge.
But, you know, sustained or whatever.
Call the counsel forward. You'd like to see.
The Avion's not a major.
The Avion is a tough, it's something we can discuss, I think, because it is the purchased major, if you will. And the only thing I'll say about it, nothing about it screams major championship to me, except for the fact that all the players, when they're there,
know and think it's a major championship.
Except for
and
the ones that don't show up.
The ones that don't show up.
Maybe Stacey Lewis.
Don't think that.
Lexi.
But that's the only thing that makes it a major in my mind, is if you say it's a major and there's that extra layer of pressure to it, I think there's a little something added to that. Now, is it...
Do we know if there was even pressure? These are questions we don't know the answers to. Exactly.
It sounds
Do you
like
have
it.
Exhibits that you'd like to present
I think
to
Miss Henderson four-putted one of the greens, which would...
That would certainly suggest pressure. Certainly.
Oh, well, okay. Let me start out.
Yeah, back up to what happened, your comments made about Miss Henderson.
Well, let me just say, Canada, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm not sorry. You know,
Sorry, technically.
Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Eh?
I don't know how long ago it was. I got tired of constantly watching Brooke Henderson, along with Lexi, I might add, just fail to win majors. You know, they had both won one somewhat early in their careers and now have just been sputtering away, not doing much. And so I put them both on death watch. And was that harsh? Yeah, that was harsh, okay? But I have to be consistent, right? We've done this on the men's side. I have to do it on the women's side. And those two women were put on death watch. So what you're telling me allegedly is that Brooke Henderson won this alleged major. If that is the case.
It's circumstantial evidence at best, I will admit that.
It's hearsay, yeah. That's awesome for her, and it's awesome for Canada. I know how they ride for her. Truly, the biggest crowds I see at a lot of tournaments I go to are the Canadians. They're hordes of them. They're packs of Canadians following Brooke Henderson's every move. So it's you know, an alleged second major win for her is a big deal, and that's awesome, and I think it's really good for the women's game. And I can't help but feel like I maybe motivated her to get here. So...
I was going to ask when that's going to happen for Rory.
Right.
I'm not loving, you know, seeing these instantaneous results, because I think the Brooke thing was fairly recently.
This year you declared her dead.
Within 12 months. Yeah. Maybe a few more.
And we're going on what will be well over 2.5 years since your Rory pronunciation.
At least.
I think lumping Brooke and Lexi in together. That's harsh. I have a problem with that. I'm a big Brooke Colmer. She does play slow as shit. I'll say that. This is her second major. She's won, what, like 12 or 13 events now? She's only 24, Randy.
I was going to say, it's a little... I was kind of like, oh, wow, a late 20s major win. Like, oh, shit, she's 24. This is her 12th career LPGA Tour win. Second win in the last 2 months. Third win going back to April of 2021 last year.
And she had a bulky putter, clearly. She had a bulky putter. She's gone left-hand low. If anybody can tell you about...
Why don't you go left-hand low?
I normally do go left-hand low. I almost went right-hand low left-handed today.
He has done every possible combination.
I know. That's right. It seems like you probably went... Well, we don't have to get into it.
I sympathize. Yeah. And they got rid of the... She can't use a 50-inch driver that she normally uses anymore.
That's right.
I forgot about the long driver.
That's right. They were persecuting her.
That's right. Well, she won her first major when she was 18.
It's wild.
It's crazy. Back in 2016.
That was at Sahali, right? The KPMG?
Yeah.
Or the women's PGA.
That's exactly right.
So
in a playoff over Lydia Ko, who was like 12 at the time. Probably.
Who knows if child labor laws back then.
So listen, has Brooke found form since I went on record, since I put my neck out there? Yeah, she has. Is that a great look for me? No, it's not. But like I said, I can't help but... You know, I'd like to take a little credit for that. Of course, I didn't see her speech. Maybe she thanked me. I don't know.
She also, she was sputtering a little bit. She was two or three over.
She tried to
at
give it away,
point.
So I checked mid-round
yesterday.
Allegedly. This is, yes, thank you. Can we retract that from the record? And I believe at one point she was 3 over through 14. It looked like she was not going to win. I was feeling very happy. And then...
Schadenfreude even.
Yeah, so that's... I'm gonna stop you right there.
That's classic.
Feeling that, yeah. Let's keep it above board here. Feeling happy about her giving away a major.
Your Honor, let me point you back.
Not my courtroom.
Your Honor, let me point you to a statement my client made just a week or so ago during the Open Championship live shows when, you know, he vociferously in his anti-Rory sentiments pointed out, I believe I'm quoting loosely here, Do you think my life is so fucking fun right now? My favorite player hates me. Colin Morikawa might be a trackman golfer, things of that nature. He continued for quite a while. And so I think some of that plays into maybe not wanting to get Twitter's collective nuts dragged on his face with a Brooke Henderson win. Is that accurate?
That is very accurate. Thank you. Thank you. What my lawyer said. And I was chuffed potentially for Sophia Schubert coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, who is she?
Exactly. Rookie this year. She won the 2017 USAM, attended Texas, and just got her card. Rookie on the LPGA this year. In fact, just made her first cut at a major back at the KPMG, where she finished tied for 65th.
She made $82,000 this year to date. Year to date, made $586 for her runner-up.
My grand, she had to pay some French taxes. True,
that's unfortunate. So that was going to be a fairy tale story for America. For America.
Hell yeah, brother! Yeah.
Freedom for us. So
it's what my client is trying to say is hook 'em.
Starting to sound like TC in his DraftKings picture last week.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay, we will.
Here's what I'll say. If Brooke allegedly did win this major, Randy and I were allegedly discussing this in our pre-deposition talks yesterday while we were out having a bit of a fika and just talking about life.
Fika here in Saudi Arabia.
Right, of course, of course. Always fun to... The women's game needs a... I know they've had dominant players, right? But... need to start seeing some of these ladies get into like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 majors, right? Running the NB playbook, getting out there, stretching their legs, running downhill.
So what you're saying is they need to add more majors because they only have 5 now.
We want some killers.
There's nothing.
We want
some
killers.
With all respect to Sophia Schubert, I'm sure she'll have another chance in the future. More fun to see Brooke get to 2 than it is to see most players get to 1.
Right? I just think it's ridiculous that like this. This leaderboard is never, it's always unbecoming of a major in general.
It does just look like it's just a regular LPGA Tour event with, it was at one point more money added in, and when it looked like the women's majors were starting to flounder a little bit before this whole new era of major championships stepping up and paying out a lot of money for these events, this was like the big money event, and now it's just... all the other majors, KPMG, ProMedica now on the U.S. Women's Open, and then now we have Chevron, who's basically bought the what was the A&A. They're just throwing tons and tons and tons of money in these majors, and Evian's just gotten left in the dust.
That one, the Chevron one, we were talking about this the other day, Randy, like maybe they should take that international for the once or twice, like every other year or every 3 years. They're an international company. Go to Australia, go to Korea, go to...
Japan. Yeah. It would be so much fun. I know. It is.
That's fair.
The women could really lead the golf world on that by putting a major, outside of the U.S. and Great Britain.
Well, and especially the, going back to talking about INBY and just where the women's game is at. Like, having a major in Korea would be fucking awesome.
It'd be such a...
God, that would be cool.
It would be a rock and roll show. It would be
golf, but louder.
Truly, truly.
There might be an international women's major at some point. With gorgeous views of the Red Sea.
Yeah, there's a whole new frontier that we haven't even covered yet on this podcast. The next, I don't know what phase this is of LIV, but it's all. Molly Marcos-Simon already said like we will take the meeting with LIV. Which honestly, they probably should.
Well, I think they kind of have to.
They're going to get steamrolled. Yeah. If the PGA Tour has gotten steamrolled, the LPGA Tour, if it's the same amount of money, is going to get absolutely run over. So that's a topic for another day.
Just a couple shout outs, if you'll allow me.
Please.
Are you going to go on the leaderboard?
Well, we don't have to go down the leaderboard, but I wanted to call out Lynn Grant. I was super excited to see how she fared. Tied for 8th. Great showing for her. She, of course, had won the Scandinavian mixed event in dominating fashion.
People are abuzz over here.
They truly are.
Saudi Arabia.
A lot of Swedes vacationing in Saudi Arabia. Can't stop talking about her. She'll get into the Women's Open this year, and then selfishly would love to see her more LPGA events next year.
Is she not?
I think she has already qualified for... I'm not...
Don't quote me on any of this, but I gotta believe she's already in the women's open field.
I would think like winning the Scandinavian mix would get you in.
And like everything else.
Yeah.
Just won like everything else.
Well, that's why I'm very confident she's already in the women's open, but she's never played the Chevron. She's never played the U.S. Women's Open. So hopefully we'll see much more of her. And then the other one, Atiyah Titicul, you know, I think people forget how young she is. Still technically a rookie season. She finished tied for eighth as well. So we have some legit talent, young talent, coming up in the world of women's golf.
And shout out to Lydia Ko, T3 finish. She's won this championship. She's finished second and has finished third twice now. And now has racked up, it looks like, 10 top three finishes in major championships with only two wins. Winning a ton.
She is so Spieth.
She's extremely Spieth.
extremely Spieth.
And our Stanford friends.
Oh,
Rachel and Rose both made the cut.
I heard allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Allegedly, Aline, I was reaching
allegedly,
messages.
Unfortunately, did not. But yeah, good fun week for Rachel and Rose.
You can't just skip over Charlie Hole.
Do you want to go down the leaderboard?
She finished T3. She's the
I love Charlie.
Baddest bitch in the field.
I'm a huge fan. I mean, the leaderboard was good.
It's good.
It's good. It was good.
It was fine.
And Anna Davis, of course, the Onwa champion. She also made the cut.
So, really?
Yeah. Do we need to adjourn? Maybe grab some lunch?
Maybe a quick recess.
Yeah, recess. I'd like to talk to my lawyer.
For those that don't know what we're referring to, Tony Finau wins the 3M by three shots over Sung Jae-im and Emiliano Grillo. Final round 67 to absolutely hunt down Scott Piercy, who shot a final round 76. Very tough near stop the count situation on the back nine.
How come you trust these results?
Mail-in vote came
have
in.
We counted, have we counted all the strokes yet?
If you are a new listener to this podcast, I'm just going to apologize in advance for whatever's about to happen as we unfold here. But two people that have microphones currently hooked up to them have been extremely, extremely hard on Tony Finau over the years. And TC has jumped in to kind of dunk, spike the football every now and then.
Have I dunked on Tony? Absolutely. Has Tony deserved it? Absolutely. Have these two gone overboard with some of their takes? Absolutely. Have you absolved Tony of a lot of different things when he's shrunk at almost every opportunity? Absolutely.
I knew I couldn't get through that sentence all the way. The take was, listen, Tony Finau gets in. I'll let you guys go ahead and say what you say. Just what? Go ahead. Take the floor.
Sure. So, again, we don't need to keep redoing this bit. You know, if what you're saying is true and Tony Finau did win this tournament, I mean, I, for one, you know, in an absolutely premier PGA Tour event where I believe I heard another lawyer pass me a note that said they couldn't even fill the field. Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, I think this just absolutely slams the door closed.
There were retired tennis players in the field.
This is truly one of the biggest wins, if it's true, again, one of the biggest wins I can remember, certainly on the PGA Tour. I mean, Sally, I think this is validating of everything you've said over close to a decade now. I think you stack this up with his limited field win in New Jersey and a dominant win at the Puerto Rico Open. And I think, you know, me and Randy are wrong. You're right. It sounds like I didn't watch it, but I assume he absolutely slammed the door on 17 and 18.
Left no doubt.
Left no doubt.
Also, I'll just say to the field strength as well, there were such heavyweights as Ted Purdy, Kevin Stadler, Parker McLaughlin, Daniel Chopra, Jeff Overton, Jason Gore, John Houston, things of that nature.
Oh, my God.
And Tone beat the hell out of him.
He smoked him. 1-3.
I mean, what can I add that?
No,
that Tone hasn't already.
This was in the models that it would lead to this. I mean, when he won the Northern Trust last year, it was a field strength of 814. And you didn't want to acknowledge that was a big win. So
to be fair, nobody knows what that means.
The 113 strength of field for this past week. Look,
is that really
will you, put, yeah. Oh, will you put that in context?
God, that's so.
This is
bad.
Like this. I believe the second worst event, non-opposite field event. The John Deere was like astonishingly bad this year, but this one was.
Now, why would that be?
A tough scene. It basically, it goes, and this is including the non, the opposite fielders, Puerto Rico, Barbasol, Corrales Punta Cana, Barracuda, John Deere 3M. Those are your worst fields of the year. So it was straight up not a good field. But we have said in the past, I've made the point, he needs to go play these tournaments where he's the big fish, because he's got a great world ranking. He has all these world ranking points. He has all these top finishes. He ends up in the fields with the best players, and he ends up putting up really, really, really good performances, good 3 to 4 strokes gained, and finishing one shot short a lot.
That's what he tried to do in Mexico with my hitters down there at Vedanta.
Uh-huh.
But there was a bigger fish.
There was a huge-ass fish. And a floating fish, if you will. The guy couldn't sink. So I'm proud of Big Tone for going up to 3M and slamming the door shut. Even stunted on you guys on 17 by airmailing the green, back hitting the grandstands, and almost ricocheting into the water. Then goes and he's got such a big lead. He's taunting. He goes and drives in the water on 18, makes a bogey, just throws one back to the field. He's just toying with you guys.
Lightening the load for his caddy, which you love to see. Very cool.
Anyways, if you go back a couple years, I was insistent that Big Tone was going to get a win. And I believe this was 2020, and he did not do that. We had an apology bet on that, and I said, they asked me, will you apologize if he doesn't win? And I stood on this podcast, and I apologized after that win, and that was the bet. And
who could forget that?
I settled the debt of that podcast, and I started a new one right there, because Randy just had one line in that pod that just annoyed me. And I was just like, oh, he's going to win. And Randy just stepped right up like, will he? He doesn't win. He's not going to win. He doesn't win. And so we started a brand new bet right there. And that bet was, do you want to fill us in on what that bet was? Or do you want me to keep going?
I don't know. You were groveling at this point. I think Randy and I both kind of checked out. We were like, yeah, cool, man. Whatever. Yeah. You want to bet. Sounds good.
It all seems so hypothetical.
If you're going to declare that he's not going to win, I said, well, let's put some stakes in the game because I think he will. And I said, if he wins,
we had a
little
plan
kid,
out for
beat
2 weeks.
Him in horse, and he's like, oh, 2 out of 3. No, three out of 5.
Did you agree to it?
Did we get anything in writing even?
There was nothing in writing, first of all.
I witnessed it.
I was going to say, you do not want people going back in the archives.
No, and we agreed to it. I think I said, if they do go back in the archives, I think I said at the time, Randy, this is a stupid bet. We're going to lose, but I'll ride with you. You know, and I think that there was facial hair involved. That's the thing.
Steaks without a mutton chops.
You had to issue for losing the bet, the initial bet, which was really the premier bet. You had to issue a 5-second apology.
I spent a minute.
12-second apology.
It was an earnest
crocodile.
Minute.
And now to fight back after you've been beaten over the head many, many times in the head with a hammer. All of a sudden, Randy and I have to plan our fucking facial hair around for 2 weeks.
It's impossible. It's we can't do it.
Then
sir.
Don't agree to it.
just to add some context, did this conversation occur after he spit the bit at the waste management?
I think it's just hard to.
It was
hard to
at
know
the end of the West
it
Coast
see,
swing.
Like, which time? I feel like they all blend.
At the
together.
End of the West Coast swing in 2021, because of COVID, they extended the bet through the West Coast.
Right,
swing.
This is when
he had just
Saudi.
Blown it to Max.
He
maybe
barely lost in Saudi. He had blown one to Max.
Max got up and down from behind the tree.
Lost to Max. Yeah.
I mean, Sully, like he's had a bad year by his
standards.
He has
not played the best golf. Yeah.
But your whole argument was basically you were so brave. You took the side of mathematics and, you know, things, the law of averages, things evening out. Like this guy is, he's such a good ball striker, and he's gaining so many shots off the tee that like the blind squirrel analogy. Like Tony is the blind squirrel finding the victory is the nut, and he found a nut finally.
He nutted. It was basically like he can't have that many great finishes. Like he's had a combination of bad tournaments, bad final rounds.
I thought you were going to say bad luck.
He's also had
a
shitload, like just straight up facts. He's had a shitload of bad luck. He's had final round 65s from being in position and missed out by one. Final round 66s missed out by one. Like straight up, the numbers just say if you perform this way, this many strats above, blah, 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 you should win this many times, and he hasn't, right? So it's a combination of the two, and I've said that from the beginning. And these guys just persisted that it wouldn't change around, that it wouldn't start turning. I'd say 2 wins in 2 years starts to look a lot different. And all I'm going to say to you, sir, we made a bet in 2019. We went and played golf. we settled that bet. You beat me on our Ryder Cup road trip. And that bet involved me doing something hideously embarrassing to my hair in presentation. I shaved USA to the side of my head.
You guys are so soft. That wasn't embarrassing at all. That was sweet.
That was sweet. I agree.
Are you not a Patriot? Are you not proud of your country?
I would gladly shave USA for my country to the side of my head.
I had my wife's company Christmas party to attend like 7 days after that. It was an extremely tough scene. And it's hard to let. We're coming up on a year going by since Finau won last year, and you guys have not offered to settle this bet. And I'm just wondering why the public's not more upset about this.
Well, because honestly,
are you a man of your
no,
word? Are
because
you
I have to grow my beard out for 2 weeks before I can shave with mutton chops. Never happens.
I literally cannot grow mutton chops. I don't know what I could grow this for.
I would like to see your attempt.
And
grow
it,
your
it
beard.
It doesn't fill in here.
Grow your beard.
It just gets dark around my chin.
Then maybe don't Finau
has 12 second place finishes since the beginning of 2017.
It's insanity.
Your Honor, would you accept? I will go for the mutton chops. I think I can pull them off. I'm not going to shave for the rest of this trip. That will be 2 full weeks of growth. I'll knock down the hedges and we'll get this thing paid. Would you accept for my client to, he says, you know, quote, it just gets darker out his chin. Would you accept the chin, the little goatee, like
now,
just the chin goatee that Big Tone had earlier in the year?
Now we get to the bet for this year, which was that if he didn't win, I was going to have to do that at the NIT. If he did win, you guys were going to have to do that for the NIT.
Which
he won
I think
again.
We're happy to do.
Again, yeah, these happily. Aren't punishments. Have you seen the mustache I currently have?
Will you support me in this, DC?
For fun. Yeah, you guys need to pay your bets.
A Schuster always pays his debt.
Just not always on time.
Just not always on time.
Guys, no, well, within that.
Big yeah. Tone has, since the beginning of 2017, he has 33 top tens.
He's very good.
He just, like, Solly, you got to admit.
I'll say that in the court of law. Like, he's very good.
He's a choker. He does not get it done. Like, he does not make it easy on himself. He's terrible under pressure.
It is excruciating to watch and root for, because there's, even last night I waited a long time before sending any taunting text, because he of course steps up and drives it right in the water. He has had some bad moments, but you have to meet me halfway here. He has had some enormously great final rounds that he's just gotten edged out.
I would say he's had some very good final rounds, maybe not enormously great.
He shot 64 the final round at Riviera at the Genesis to get into the playoff with Max and missed out by a shot.
Listen, wow, that's one of the few. It. Yeah, but that's one of the few, you know,
he missed
good
an
ones.
Footer.
I know.
He gets less out of his talent than just about anybody out there. Like, his ceiling is so high.
And I think that's where me and my client come from, as two guys who absolutely max out their ability.
Yeah, we do.
In every,
we saw it
in every conceivable
no
way.
No spoilers. We saw it today.
So my judgment, my ruling, my verdict on this situation is, Solly, you're right on the, you know, that's kind of the civil case here. You're right on these bets. These gentlemen need to pay these bets.
But we want to know who's going to jail.
You need to think about how your friend Uncle Juice got railroaded.
Hold on. You got the dream team here. Hold on. Solly, on the criminal side, I find you guilty of fluffing Big Tone.
I'm not on trial here. This whole courtroom is
that
gavel.
I'm holding you in the
hammer that gavel.
Chambers.
Bailiff, please remove
you're out of order, Saul.
I have carried the water for many years, taking abuse. Every week he tees it up, there's like a 96% chance that he will fail. And I have stood there and I have took this abuse. And I will not stand for this any longer. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth.
My vision fund has wagered on him multiple times. We've identified Big Tone's talent.
So where are we shaking out here?
He's a massive underachiever Solly bet on you know, like the overwhelming odds were that he was going to win.
It was
twice
literally like 50-50.
Yeah, I tried to go down that road as well, and he did tell me it was a 50-50 bet.
Literal, like DraftKings
to do that.
DraftKings set the odds like a 50-50.
Can we trust the math?
And whose math is he using?
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly. No, that's true. All right. Well, here's what we need to circle back on is just genetically, my client can't fulfill this bet.
How?
So we need
can
to reach
I serve
an understanding.
My punishment.
I have an idea. We'll put it to the audience.
No.
It's tragedy of the commons.
No. Jury doesn't usually do sentencing, but I think given the unique circumstances of waiting a year, I think you've subjected yourself to public opinion on this.
No, let me just say,
depending on what you say, I will just do the 2 weeks, and I'll give you the best mutton chops I can muster. But that's I can only give what I can give. I can't.
I think an effort at the mutton chops.
That's heady. Yeah.
An effort. It wasn't supposed to. Everyone. It wasn't supposed to look as good as Faldo's. I think just in general, an effort to
do
say.
They need like, it. How close to the mouth do they need to come?
That's a judgment call.
Because that's more like pork chops, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Be careful. We're in Saudi Arabia.
I would say like 40% of the way there. Okay. Does that seem like a lot? I don't know.
No, that seems fair.
Okay. And then of course the chin bet for the NIT. So a lot of facial.
We're gonna have to start working on it. It's what, July 28th or 25th? We're gonna have to start working on that one now.
Yeah.
This one only got Big Tone up to 17th in the FedEx Cup.
It's not been a great year. I've not been riding very hard for him this year because my normal stake is that he plays great golf and doesn't win. He hadn't even been playing great golf this year. He almost won Canadian Open.
You may remember after the hitters at Vedanta Open, the pie man was on this. He said Big Tone has bounced and he's on his way back up.
You have been on this.
And Big Tone has been solid.
The Vision Fund was all over this too.
Your analysts have been working overtime trying to ID when Big Tone was going to pop.
Can we get on the leaderboard a little bit?
For the first time ever, I would say yes, because I have no idea what happened.
I will say, listen, there is a great tool on the Data Golf website, which is not going to gain me any favor in this courtroom. This is closing statements.
You're overly reliant on the Data
Golf. All I'm saying is they literally address what you're trying to under-rely on, which is like when he starts in contention, what kind of performance does he put forth? And he puts forth a better than expected performance against his baseline.
Again,
when in contention.
It doesn't pass the eye test and within the
I don't trust those dorks.
Within the narrative of the round, like he can put himself in great position through eight holes or makes a boneheaded error on the front nine and then rattles off three or four birdies in a row to get back in, and it looks like overall he clawed his way back into contention, but it's not passing the eye test.
So they have his, and they include his, this is including his Korn Ferry Tour career. So he has four wins, technically, is what they have.
Zero big break.
But doesn't count big break.
And they,
did he win the big break?
He didn't win. That's right.
They have an expected
of field, though,
amount of, so basically how this works, right? So you get whatever your win probability is after three rounds.
I don't trust win probability.
That's fine.
I hate all that stuff.
I'm just trying to tell you where I'm coming from, all right? I'm not trying to convince you. I know I'm not going to convince you. But basically, if you add up all the win probability, it would say like five times he would end up with a win, 4.94. And given how he played in the final round, it would add up to 4.67. So he has slightly decreased his expected win percentage with overall round four performances.
And
basically he's 0.67 wins under what it should have happened.
He birdies 14, 15, 16.
I mean, points, that's almost a full win.
That's what I'm saying.
Two-thirds of a full win.
So you agree with me?
And he's stacking
under what he should be.
And he's stacking up wins against
30%. Yeah, he should have had more wins based on his play.
He's stacking up wins against weaklings here.
And I think we're being pretty classy about this whole thing, first of all, in even counting two of these as wins.
Yeah, we're giving a lot here.
He beat Scott fucking Piercy in the final round.
Scott Piercy shot 42 on the back nine.
Allegedly, again.
You know how distracted he is right now?
Like, truly
a lot of shit going on in his world.
Truly counting like this and Puerto Rico as...
Puerto Rico doesn't count.
Puerto Rico wins was before all this started, though.
No, I get it.
But it's going into your model.
It's
models.
Still going into your model. You're propping it up three wins being the same as, you know.
It's impossible to lose that tournament down the stretch because there's nowhere
much
to get
everybody gets three wins.
But again, he won a playoff event with all the top players in the world. That didn't even move the needle for you.
But it was on Monday.
Cam kind of blew that, too.
It was on a
Monday.
Exactly. See? But Fina, like... He tried to blow it yesterday.
He did for
terrible
sure.
Terrible under the gun.
He's going to continue to try to blow them. We are not at the end of this at all.
He's a house cat.
I just think if you're taking, you're taking half majors away from guys, you're doing stuff like that. I mean this sincerely. How many actual wins does he have? What would you really give him? Three? That's laughable in this courtroom.
It's not
trying
enough
to present that case.
But basically, your guy's take was that he wasn't gonna win.
No,
going
no, no. I get that, and we lost. And listen, I think, we
the judge has
we're happy to pay that civil court. That's fine.
I think those are fines, maybe.
I think it's like from where I'm sitting, it's like a 1.6 wins that he has right now. Okay, I'll give him a full win for Northern Trust. That's great.
It should be a win and a half.
I think it's probably 1.8. overall. No, the Northern Trust doesn't, because it's a limited field, too.
It doesn't matter. It's like the 70 best players in the world. Who cares?
Don't even worry about it. We're giving him a full win for that one. That's fine.
No, he's trying to argue for more than a win for that.
If you're weighing wins, it's way higher strength of field than like the normal average event. If you want to take it away, you got to add on the other side.
Dustin Johnson has like 60 wins.
Can we take away some of these, like from when he really, really chokes? Can we start taking away like a tenth of a win?
Absolutely not.
There's
no precedent for that.
Why don't we all get in the lab on that? We'll present a number to the people.
So I just want to put a wrap on that. I just want everyone to be caught up on what the standing of the bets are and how you guys are getting on a payment plan or how you want to figure it out.
The other thing is this is like, it's a terrible golf course.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's awful.
It's horrendous.
Like it's unbecoming of a PGA Tour.
Which makes you think.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Sungjae, T2.
That's exciting.
Grillo, kind of tough Sunday for him, even par.
Grillo's flashing some form, though.
Tripled 7. James Hahn, Tom Hoagie. Yeah, Piercy. Piercy shot 76.
That's sick.
He was up by 5 at one point, I think.
Yeah, like nice tribute to the Patriots, though. Sunday 76.
I'm so mad. I had a great tweet, and I typoed it, but Piercy was not expecting Finau to come back before JFK Jr. And I really was upset that I typoed that one. I'd like to have that one back, but...
He played 9 over. He played his last 11 holes in 7 over. Not going to get it done. Callum Tarran's on a nice little run right now.
For real.
T7 for him. Grayson Sigg, +1 in the final round. Wasn't what he was looking for. Jesson Hadley, starting to flash a little bit.
Was Neil on that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Neil was all over that one.
And I think we're at the portion of the show where we need to shout out TC's DraftKings picks this past week.
True. Listen, I appreciate you bringing that up.
You've been very class about not Kool-Aid Manning through the door to stunt on that one.
Listen, I got another, not only is it another win, outright victory, Richie Ramsey, he's blowing his kazoo all over the place, all over the lot, at everyone. I think I was 22-1 or 25-1 for 20 nugs. Also, it's another win on another tour. I think it's my second European Tour or DP World Tour.
He's won on 7 continents this year.
Genghis Khan.
I've got an LPGA outright win. I've got, you know, many, many PGA Tour wins.
That just points to the sustainability of the model.
The model travels.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Richie, congrats to him. I know it gutted him to miss the Scottish, not get into the British Open at St. Andrews. Comes out, gets it done at the kazoo.
Would love to hear, you know, I know Richie's obviously a friend of the program. Would love to hear, he seems like someone that would go deep on the pod. Yeah. You know, he's been in the wilderness a little bit the last couple years. Yeah. Gets back in the winner's circle. Would always love to hear stories like that.
We got homework assignments. You guys got to grow facial hair and I'll track down Richie for the pod. How about that?
Great. Was the in Minnesota, was it like really tough conditions the first two rounds?
It was windy early on. It was allegedly. Again, I didn't get to watch the early rounds, but on tour, Marty Fish had trouble with the wind on the front end, I believe. Which I'll still defend the Marty Fish exemption.
Yeah, good one, Randy. objection. You're out. We like that string. Would you like to go off on sponsor exemptions a bit?
No, I just every time somebody gets a spot like this, Steph Curry in the Corn Ferry event, or Tony Romo in the Fortinet, it's all, this should go to an up-and-coming young player, blah, blah, blah. And that's just not how unrestricted sponsors exemptions work. If you don't know how they work, tournaments, if you put up money for a tournament, you're allowed a couple spots. It depends on how much money you put up in which event, how many you get, but you can use those spots in any way you want. It could be to grow promotional interest, could be to get a local person in, you can get a college kid in if you want. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to pick a PGA Tour member. They almost never go to up-and-coming Corn Ferry guys, or no one really gets a call up, you know, unless it's like, again, a local tie or whatever you want to use it for.
Plus, a lot of those guys don't want to not play the Corn Ferry because they're going to miss out on points.
So it can. I like kind of putting a somewhat of an average Joe in there, like throw a +3 handicap that has like documented legitimate game and watch what they shoot. And he shot 81 or something in round one, and it just, again, speaks to how freakishly easy tour pros make tour setups look, because +2, +3 handicaps do not play tour setups every week. And I'm not going to say he got exposed. Like, that's just the nature of the beast. Like, you have a bad, you have a bad day, you're going to have a bad time. Like, you're going to shoot a big score. That handicap is only averaging your best rounds, and it's very unlikely you're going to go play your best round. I just love that element of, I was checking the leaderboard to see what Marty Fish shot. I think that's a good use of a sponsor exemption if that's what it leads to.
I always have trouble figuring out this golf course because there's like some absolute bombers have won there.
And it's
like,
supposed to be an accuracy course, which, yeah.
Exactly.
It might just be the worst course on tour.
I want to shout out Richie Wierenski for coming out shooting 32. He was the first. He was the leader coming out of the gates early on Thursday, and then he probably shot 45 on the back nine. Also, Chris Goddard, he was like three over, I think, early, shot 75 in the first round. Came back, battled, made the cut. I think he's got some grit in him.
There's an up-and-comer getting a start.
He's basically...
He's probably earned that through, what, John Deere?
Right? He probably got the... Does that sound right? Yeah, that sounds right.
David Coker, I think, winning, not to be confused with David Koch, winning on... the Korn Ferry Tour at the Price Cutter Charity Championship presented by Dr. Pepper. Taylor Montgomery, that guy continues to... He was number 26 on the list the last 2 years.
He was 26 on Korn Ferry Finals and regular season last year.
I think he's pretty close to locking up his card.
Okay.
Finally.
That'll be a nice...
Robbie Shelton flashing some Philly Knowles playing well.
That's right. Nice. Very nice. All right, well, TC is going down the leaderboard, and this is this emergency episode, so we're going to wrap it here again. This was not meant to be a recap week, but had to...
Did anything else happen?
Emergency injunction.
This week, anything of note? I'm legitimately asking.
I mean, Charles Howell and Kokrak finally pushes chips in his head to Bedminster.
That feels like it was a couple weeks ago, though.
Yeah, that was old. And, of course, Stenson, we talked about that as of last week.
The people in Saudi Arabia here are up in arms about the Stenson news.
They're chuffed. So, all right. Well, gents, thank you for coming to Face the Music. And I look forward to revisit. You want to propose a new bet? Another year? Do you want to do another year? Some more stakes?
I think we'd like to regroup and take a short recess.
We'll talk. We'll huddle.
Yeah, why don't we?
I mean, there's definitely an appetite to do that, but.
I think if we could maybe get a hearing.
Is Double Jeopardy in play?
Sometime earlier this fall, maybe. Would you be okay with that? If that works with your schedule.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, we'll take another hearing, and I think we can figure something out.
Racking up the billboard.
I would like to read into the record, we came in, we're two upstanding guys. I think we didn't beat around the bush here. We showed great integrity. We showed, what we're all about. So I hope that's considered.
And I'd also like to read into the record. I'm a fan of Big Tone's TikTok dances.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in on
fresh,
that.
Baby.
I'm in on that.
Is Big Tone going to go to Live?
That next week on the No Laying Up podcast, we could settle that at a future date. This is, I don't have an answer for you there, TC. I couldn't tell you. So, but, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with regularly scheduled recaps in 2 weeks when we return from Saudi Arabia / Sweden from filming. So, cheers.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yeah. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most. Expect